I'm going to try to bring in some other speakers we've talked to in the past as something to think about. So a couple weeks ago, we had Todd's friend Michael Duda on the phone, and he mentioned that there's a change going on as it relates between the relationship between the consumer and the company selling the goods. So it is an example, the relationship between Gillette Shavers, the Mach 3 department, and the individual who's actually shaving are coming together more closely because of a decline in the transaction costs related to communication. So where before Gillette would never know who buys their razors, today you can, it is a possibility you can deal directly with them and then answer questions that people have related to, the shaver's not working for me in the following ways, et cetera. How do you see companies engaging directly with their consumer? It seems to me that if I hired you to work at Procter and Gamble, how would you help them in their direct communications with their consumers to find out what they want or what's not working for them?
First of all, Duda is a great guy. That's a great guest to have. Second, I'd say there are a couple different ways to go about it because I mean, it's always amusing to me when I hear people who don't work in business but describing companies as these like evil, powerful corporations who are like controlling people's minds. Whereas the reality of it is that companies are scrambling to understand the shifts that are going on and what people are thinking and feeling, what they want to buy and why they're doing this. And there's that hunger is something that I think is not appreciated by people outside of business. In terms of the how, I'd say there are two broad ways to go about it. One is the opposite of what nonfiction does, but is really valuable. And that's there are tons of little like software tools that you can use to run like quick customer feedback sorts of things. Like you may have seen, and I don't know the name of the company who does this, but you may have seen in like live events. Remember live events? There's like a happy face button and a grumpy face button or that sort of thing. Like when you're waiting in line. And you see the same thing online, and there are a bunch of like quick survey tools that people use to just get like a quick pulse about something really specific, and that's valuable in when it's used the right way. The other way is a deeper exploration, something that a company would be willing to spend a month or 2 months or several months and $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 on, which is diving deep, deep, deep into spending time with people and understanding the things that might not show up if you give somebody a 3-minute web survey kind of a thing. And so I think like the was research used to be one thing, it's now bifurcating into, do you want it fast and easy, or do you want it like deep and long? This is starting to sound weird, but those two options are they're both good in their place, and I think anything in the middle is going to start to get I don't know, effaced.
And
I want to
just
ask
any
next
good.
about. Go ahead, Todd.
I was going to say, basically, Kenny, I'm curious. Kind of one of the things you have written about is the financial services industry, which kind of, at least kind of the three of us have come out of. And I'm curious, kind of if you think about it today, and it's remarkable to me that that PayPal is worth more than Goldman Sachs plus Citigroup combined, or that Stripe is worth almost as much as Goldman Sachs. And I know that you did a lot of work around kind of the kind of like kind of the financial service industry. I'm sort of curious about kind of some of your insights there that you might share.
Sure. We gave a keynote talk maybe a month ago at a FICO conference based on a report that we wrote with FICO called What Bank Customers Want But Aren't Getting or something like that. which itself was inspired by a report that we published a couple of years ago called The Secret Financial Lives of Americans. And I think everybody on this call has read 8,000 reports entitled like The Future of Financial Services. And when you look at it within retail banking especially, like innovation in retail banking looks like let's leave the bank open an extra couple of hours, or like how do we improve mobile check deposit? And that stuff does matter. It's not insignificant. But I don't think you're going to see people flocking from one bank to another based on like a marginally better mobile check deposit through the app. So we spent a lot of time talking to people about the parts of money that you're not supposed to talk about in public. We talked to them about shopping addiction. We talked about how spending is often done for emotional, self-medicating reasons. We talked about status anxiety, wondering if you have enough, or seeing other people buy things, and wondering if you should be buying that thing. Great book by Alain de Botton, however he pronounces his name, on status anxiety, worth a read for anyone. You see people wondering whether they're earning enough, like they don't know if they're being paid fairly, especially women. Who deeply suspect that they're not being paid fairly, but often aren't exactly sure of the numbers about it. People uncertain about how to use debt. So just when you talk to everyday people, this is what they talk to you about when you talk about money. And then when you go back to your financial service company, be it a retail bank or whatever, they're looking for these opportunities to differentiate and to offer new services which will either attract or retain customers. And so, in short, the stuff that we published with FICO found that most bank customers would abandon their current bank and open a new account at a new bank if the banks were to offer services that helped with these things that they already are stressed out about with money. So for instance, go ahead.
I just wanted to follow up with something that Carol Spahn mentioned in her talk as it relates to you. She mentioned the excitement of going into the unknown and pushing yourself into an uncomfortable situation to learn. And it's ironic that the example you gave was a person who goes out of their comfort zones to tile their bathroom. And they find themselves, you know, failing and tears running down the side of their face. Where failure should be encouraged and failure is just part of life. How, you know, by the way, I totally sympathize with that person who's tiling their bathroom and failing. I could see that happening to me, no question. And yet you're saying this is an opportunity for Home Depot to take advantage of those tiers. I think if Home Depot articulated that before they started the project, there was a good chance you might end up in tiers, I think that would hurt sales. But how do you advertise to them by not doing the former, but doing the latter, which is now that you're crying because of the tiles, we're here to help and we can help solve the problem. How do you cut that very thin edge?
Yeah, first of all, I'd actually, here's my controversial take for the day, is I'd actually challenge that what you're taking is axiomatic, in that I think we're all taught when we go into business, whatever the business is, that you know, like what we're selling is happiness. You gotta like make people happy, and don't ever let some you know, unpleasant emotion come to the surface. But I think you also see that a lot of times there's a level of emotional realism that can work, which is not that Home Depot should be depressing you with their commercials, but we did see that a large number of homeowners said they'd be more motivated to tackle home projects if they had a better understanding of the challenges that they're going to hit along the way. Close to 40% found that the depictions of home projects that they see in commercials or even in social media channels are unrealistic, and that unrealistic thing is a demotivator for them. And here you go. 35% of homeowners are procrastinating on a home project right now for reasons other than money. So all those people should be at a store right now. And so I think actually if these, just the stores are one angle, but if they were able to close the gap between the happy washed, hey, get it done notion of do-it-yourself stuff and a more realistic thing, I think there's a good bet that they could figure that out and translate some of that into revenue.